Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in publishing, community, and politics. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it is a love thing. And with all that is going on in our world today, we are most definitely in need of these wonderful ladies to fill our reading pleasure with some love. I am so excited to be hosting my Valentine's Day show. And ladies and gentlemen, I know it's not Valentine's Day, but next week I'll be booed up myself. So I'm going to give you this show 1 week early. So I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I want you to think about all that's good and wonderful about love. I want you to think about these wonderful women and the books that they have produced that have given you joy, given you much pleasure, probably giving you some of your best book boyfriends. And we are going to have fun tonight. Tonight is all about fun. It's all about being engaged, and it's all about love. So don't worry about the politics tonight. But I do want you to get out and vote and be active and sign those petitions and register to vote and take some people with you. But all that being said, I want you to remember love, remember that the world needs love, and remember that we must produce love. And these women I have this evening, ladies and gentlemen, they are some of the best authors when it comes to writing about love and characters who engage us and who are witty, who are seductive, who are sassy, and know how to bring it on. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, my first guest this evening is the one and only bestseller, award-winning Samantha Chase. Samantha, welcome back to Read You Later.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you this evening?
I am doing just fine. Fine. I'm so excited to be back on the show with you.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm excited too. And Samantha is on deadline. You know, Samantha, she writes 160 books per year. So we probably like caught her when she's in the midst of writing probably like 100. So I am glad that she's able to join us this evening. Now, Samantha has a lot of wonderful news. So, Samantha, tell us about what's going on with you before we just really delve into your books. Give us the new exciting news.
New exciting news is that my book, The Christmas Cottage, was optioned by Hallmark, the Hallmark Channel. So we're
waiting
to see. Thank you. We're waiting to see if they're gonna buy it and make it, but I'm very, very hopeful for that, so that's exciting. But today is also a book release day, so that's
yes, and
me,
tell
that's
us the name
today.
Of the book.
The name of the book is One More Kiss, and it is the first book in this new series called Band on the Run, and it actually is an offshoot of my Shaughnessy Brothers series. In December,
which is fabulous.
Shaughnessy Books.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the Shaughnessy Brothers series, you know, just go and just get one. But I'm sure this Samantha would like you to get several, and gift a copy
exactly.
to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and even your friends. Maybe they'll bring some love if you give them a book about romance. But I am so glad that there are spinoffs, because you know there are characters that you know, as we discussed at the last book club meeting that you attended, Grand Table Reader, shout out to my book club. You know, there were a lot of different characters that several of my members wanted to see have their own storyline. And you know, as any bookworm will tell you, we're always wondering, what if? So do you deal and give us the what if in this new series?
I give a lot in this new series. The cool thing about the great thing about this series to me is that you're going to get to meet new characters, but we're also going to be getting sneak peeks back at the Shaughnessys as well, because the Shaughnessy series will be coming to an end in October. That will be
okay.
The last book in that series.
I'll let two of my Book Club members know that they're probably listening this evening. They may not be happy with that, but we understand that all good things must come to an end. So is this your way of appeasing your readers by introducing them to this new and wonderful?
The funny thing was that this series wasn't meant to tie into the Shaughnessys, but it really worked out that way. I wanted to write a series that was set in the music industry, that rather than dealing with the on stage persona, I wanted to have these guys, like, what happens in their personal lives, like when they're out of the spotlight. And so, being that Riley Shaughnessy from book 4 in that series, his book came out in December, he's the lead singer of this band. So this new series, Band on the Run, it's his band. That's his, you know, these are his guys that we're going to be meeting. And they're just a little bit edgier. They're all dealing with a little bit deeper things, a little bit of the dark side of what comes with fame and when you're out of the spotlight. And it's just, it was a very interesting series to create, because these guys are way more complex than heroes that I've written about in the past.
Now, how did writing these characters, how did they stretch you as an author?
Oh, my goodness. Because I think in my usual books, like, everybody's, all the angst, it's all very superficial in a way. It's, you know, it's who's a workaholic, who's, you know, who's got a little bit of OCD, who, you know, that sort of stuff. But these guys, you know, we're talking about guys who've dealt with drug and alcohol addiction, guys who have had a history of mental and psychological abuse from their childhood. So it really, you know, you have to be true to that sort of thing and be sensitive to it. And it had me just doing a lot more research so that I did, you know, so that these guys were believable in their story, so that anybody who read it who may have experienced something like that in their lives, that I was doing them justice.
Awesome. Now, how do you, I know that, people like me, you know, can download a book and actually sometimes read it within a 24-hour period. Have you already, I know from your arcs, have you received any reviews from people who, or any feedback from your beta readers or what have you, from people who are intrigued on your new turn, or are perhaps even shocked? Because your books are generally, you know, very sweet, romance, even though they have some of them, very, very, very sweet romance, a very traditional romance, a very traditional hero and heroine. So are you you're feeling positive feedback of people who are just intrigued about this new journey that you're taking with this new series?
They are, because I still stay true to who I am. There's still that sweet romance aspect to it. It's just that our heroes have a little bit more to overcome. The heroines are still like these great sassy girls who just show them that they can, you know, that they're going to love them no matter what. And I did have an interesting comment from somebody that said, you know, books that are set in the rock and roll world, like, they didn't think that my readers would go for, because those rock and roll heroes tend to be more, it's a sexier, steamier book, or it's erotica. And I don't know. I don't think that. I think if the story is good, no, you're writing compelling characters.
Exactly.
You know,
I totally
matter.
Agree. And I read stories that take place like a Christian fiction or inspirational, that perhaps have someone who sings rock and roll or jazz or something of that nature. And I agree with you, a good story is a good story regardless of the setting or regardless of what the character is enduring. And I think in this day and time, pretty much all of us have been impacted by someone in our family, a close friend, colleague, or what have you, that has endured drug or alcohol abuse or mental health issues. So I think that it's refreshing when you can read a book that gives it dignity, as you were saying, because you wanted to be true, have the research. And, you know, you never know that maybe someone who is dealing with it or could be a codependent or what have you that is able to gain information or gain some type of information that maybe set them free or get them on the right track or be able to see themselves and be able to get help too. You never know.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's been interesting, and it for a minute, like, it took a little bit of the wind out of my sails about the book, and I was like, oh, so maybe readers aren't going to like this story. But, you know, the reviews have been flying up today, and people are really, they're enjoying it. They like it, and it's a little bit different than what I usually write, and I think that that's okay to do that once in a while. You know, you don't want to become that author that everybody's like, I could skip reading
exactly
that book by her because it's going to be exactly like her other 14 books, you know. So you got to keep it fresh, everyone. You got to put something new out there.
Or like 129 in your case. I do have, let's see, I'm going to try to get one or two callers on because we do have, we actually have a surprise guest tonight. So we have quite a few people on in a very short period of time. I'm going to try to get one or two callers on this evening. Caller from 678 area code 360. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for Samantha?
Hey, the chair is Denise.
Hi, Denise. How
hey,
are
Denise.
You doing this evening?
I'm good. And Sharon.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Do you two ladies have a question or a comment for Samantha?
Actually, I kind of like, as soon as you said about music, I mm-hmm. definitely piqued my interest because I love behind-the-scenes music story, so I'm definitely going to check out this book for sure.
I always,
we want to know what's going on with a musician or a star, but, you know, you're not going to get this real story, so just go and give it to me in a book, and I'll live, and I'll be happy with that, you know.
I love that.
Now, Denise and Sharon, you also are planning a wonderful event that will take place later this year. So can you share with my listeners the name of your event and where it's located and how they can connect with you if they would like to attend?
Oh, great. Thanks. It's called mm-hmm. a Reading Warriors Retreat. It will be in October 5th through 7th. Go ahead, Denise. I'm always hogging up the time, so I'll let her do a little bit too.
This is actually our 5th anniversary, and like they're in D.C., and we have 15 great authors. You can go to www.brabonline.net, and information is there. Or you can go to Eventbrite and just look up a Reading Warriors Retreat, and you'll see our latest one, which will be in D.C., and we'll have some fun. We got lip sync back. We got campaign meetings. We got
You got to win your book husband this year.
Uh-huh. and our awards ceremony will be there on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot
awesome.
Of fun.
That's a lot of good stuff. So if you want to get in contact with these ladies, you also can find them on Building Relationships Around Book. I think they have about 1,600 members of people that love to read and discuss books, and they also have weekly spotlights and weekly or sometimes bi-weekly book chats. So if you want to get in know of what's going on with books, this is the group to join. And thank you, ladies, for chiming
in.
Thank
you. Thanks for calling,
ma'am.
So we hope you join the book club. We invite you to come and join Brad.
All right. I'm actually looking you up on Facebook right now.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's what it's all about. It's a love thing tonight. So we're here to champion women and champion love. Now, Samantha, I know you can't tell us everything that's on the horizon with you because we know that you probably have about like 50 million things to do. But Samantha will be in RT, and she will be joining me on a lovely panel. I'm very excited about that. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you're planning on doing an RT, she will most definitely be there. And Samantha, you'll probably be there probably almost the entire week, correct?
I will. I'm going to get in there on Tuesday, and I'm leaving on Sunday, so I'll be there for the whole shebang.
All right. So I'll look forward to that. And what else do you have on the horizon?
I will be signing at the end of this month at the Ripped Bodice bookstore in Culver City, California. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it is the only all-romance bookstore in the country, possibly in the world. But I'm signing there with a bunch of great authors. Then there's a signing here in Raleigh, North Carolina in March on March 11th for Authors in the City. Tickets for that are still available through Eventbrite as well. I'll be at RT, I'll be at RWA, I will be at the Shameless Book Con in Orlando in October, and then Authors Take Over Columbia in Columbia, South Carolina in November, and I've got what feels like 1,000 books coming out between now and the end of the year.
All right. And we will most definitely, and I will most definitely be sharing those books when they do come out on my various platforms. And Samantha, happy release day. I'll look forward. I'll probably read the book this weekend. I've downloaded it. So I'll read the book this weekend, and I'll give you also my feedback, and I can't wait.
Well, I appreciate that, and I look forward to seeing you at RT.
All right. And I'll see you March, too. I'm coming to Stephanie's event as well in Raleigh.
Excellent.
All right. And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Now, this next lady, she needs no introduction. She is a favorite among romance readers. She has some of my favorite book boyfriends. Can't have a husband because I already have one. He don't want to share. He doesn't mind me saying book boyfriends, but he looking kind of shit funny when I say book husband. So she has some of my favorite book boyfriends. She is an awesome author, and she loves to give back to her readers. So we have on the line with us the wonderful, fantastic Deborah Fletcher Mello. Deborah, welcome back to Read You Later.
Oh, thank you, LaShira, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's a love thing. Yes, it's a love
thing. Yes, it is.
Now, Deborah has those books up her sleeve. Yes, she does. And she has a few books that are due to come out, like all around the clock. Now, being a prolific author, What do you find that is the most difficult for you as to connecting with your readers? Because I know you have a wonderful way of connecting with your readers. So can you share with us ways that readers can kind of stay abreast about what you're doing and kind of get to know you a little better?
I have my blog site as well as we've got a Facebook page called Deborah's Reading Room where, I hope people will search us out and join up. A lot of stuff going on in there to keep readers interested and just so much going on. I wish I had more time. I just don't have enough time to get it all done.
Well, I think that your reading room and your diamonds, they do a very good job of keeping people abreast and keeping them engaged and keeping people just to get to know you even outside of being an author because just like in Brab and other groups, you know, people get a chance to know different people outside of their body of work. There are games you play. There's a spotlight on different people. There are the questions you ask. They're sometimes not book related. And I think that's a good way of engaging readers and, getting to know each other a little bit outside. And, you know, you're an author who does like to get to know readers outside even the books per se and outside the characters, but getting to know them on a more intimate level. And I think you do a very good job of that.
Well, I appreciate that. I do try. I like to get to know the people that are supporting me. I think it's important that I have a sense of who they are and, you know, what they're about. And, you know, it's just I've met some wonderful friends, you know, people I consider family, and we're just having a great time together. You know, like you said, it's all about the love.
Yeah, it's a love thing. We need that now more so than ever. It's a love thing. Now, tell us about all of this love that you have coming our way this year. So can you give us a title or two or some books that are very pending that I can already see on Amazon and pre-click my heart's delight?
Well, the next one coming out is A Pleasing Temptation, which is the next story in the Boudreaux family series. And this is Sister Kamaya Boudreaux's story. And Kamaya has a lot of secrets, and it doesn't start with the fact that she's dating a stripper. And after that, later on in the year, we've got a new Stallion story called
Wait a minute. You can't drop that on us and then just go on as if you're holding up your finger, you know, being excused in church. No. We had a back because, you know, my listeners.
It's called the tease.
I'm sure, like, the tease is tease. I can see by the switchboard, I'm not exactly sure of the names per se, but I do recognize a lot of these different phone numbers. Can't put the face with that, but I know that some of my listeners perhaps are familiar with your work, but perhaps we don't. And let me tell you, you know, these stallions that we often talk about, we've talked about in different platforms, you know, and I can't even tell you, if you have not picked up any of her stallion books, you please do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor, honey. Good. Gift a Valentine's Day present to yourself and pick up a Double Mellow book. But I like to be teased, but you're talking about a stripper, so you're going to have to, like, just give us just a little bit more information. Because, you know, it's a love thing. We're all about love tonight. It's a love thing.
It is. Kamaya is the Boudreaux sister who really isn't looking for love. You know, she's kind of, as far as Kamaya is concerned, love just doesn't exist. She doesn't believe in it. She thinks it's a fluke. And even as she's watching her brothers and sisters marry and fall in love, she does not believe that is her thing and that it will happen for her. And then she meets the delightful, the absolutely adorable, engaging Wesley Walters. And Wesley is just the finest drink of chocolate milk that you will ever want to meet. And
I feel thirsty already.
Yes. He's an aspiring entrepreneur, and the two kind of go into business together, and he's got a secret, too. You know, Mr. Walters used to ride the pole back in the day.
It makes for a very interesting story. Yeah, because it's the Boudreaux family is a very outstanding, civic-minding, political, engaging family. So, and that takes a lot for someone to engage in a relationship that their family perhaps may not initially be fond of. So, oh yes, we look forward to that. And what else do you have on our literary plate this year?
We'll have another Stallion story at the end of the year, Sweet Stallion, which is Naomi Stallion's story. And, you know, Naomi is one of the Stallion, the Utah Stallion cousins. Naomi is the oldest sister in the Utah clan. And Naomi's a little bit of a firecracker. And what I love about Naomi Stallion is we actually are introduced to their biological father, who they never knew.
A lot of people can relate to this story, sure, because there's so many secrets and underlying currents in a lot of families. And we're not going to say today because it's always been the case. And you also have a literary event that I have seen shared quite a few times on social media. So can you give us some background information on that and what can we expect?
Yes. June 10th, I will be hosting my literary tea party and Deborah's Diamond Gala in Savannah, Georgia. The afternoon event is our literary tea party. There are 14 amazing authors who will be there to sit and sip tea and tell us all about what they've got going on. It's an extraordinary event of pretty dresses and big hats and just a lot of good stuff that's going to happen. And later that night, we are hosting Deborah's Diamond Gala, which is our charity event. We'll be raising money this year for the American Cancer Society with our
awesome.
Bachelor auction.
Awesome.
So I'm very
awesome,
excited
awesome.
About that.
Now Deborah, how can people purchase tickets and find out more information about this event?
As you said, it's being shared all over social media as well. Tickets can be purchased through Eventbrite. So if you just go to Eventbrite and search for the Literary Tea Party and Deborah's Diamond Gala, pops right on up. Also information on my blog site, www.deborahmello.blogspot.com. And we're just sharing it all over. We hope everyone will be able to make it.
Now, Deborah, your blog is more about than just books. So what makes you want to post various blogs or publish various posts? Because your blog is a free fall. If anybody that follows you, and very, very, actually very seldom do you even, like, discuss books. You know, you may say something during a book release, then again, you may not. So what is the passion behind blogging?
You know what? I truly believe that my purpose here is about so much more than necessarily just writing a romance story. And even with my writing, I believe the gift that I have been given is also to share a message. I don't always know what that message is, but I know that it inevitably will touch somebody in some way. So for me, you know, I use my blog to highlight social issues that I feel passionate about, to give reaffirming courage to women and individuals who may be going through some things. So I try to use what I have to the best of my ability in hopes that it will benefit someone in a very positive way.
Awesome. That's a good – girl, I think that's a Miss USA question. I think you did a great job answering it. Oh, and I know that you do have – you're very vocal on various issues, be it mental health, be it politics, women's rights, or just rights of authors. And I know that the New York Times, a lot of people have taken a big glance at the fact that they are perhaps trying to do away with the NYT, New York Times bestselling list for trade books, which a lot of romance books happen to fall under that category. What is your take on that? And do you feel that there is a political overtone, being that a lot of these authors are women? And do you feel that if it was a more male-dominated genre that the New York Times would take this stance?
You know, let's be honest. I think, you know, when anything is more male-oriented, it gets greater attention and is considered more important than women's issues. As women, we are unfortunately required to fight harder and fight longer. And if you throw in race and economics, black women and poorer women have to do that tenfold.
Exactly.
When you consider that African-American stories are already desegregated from the bookstores. You know, we're given little shelves in the back of the bookstore and not promoted as widely by publishers in the ways that we see our white counterparts promoted and published. When you now have someone like the New York Times pulling back their reviews, and where our books would fall no longer be reviewed and considered, you know, it's an attack that we just can't take lightly. So, you know, we've got to make a lot of noise about it. We've got to shout out our concerns. and, you know, in some respects, find our own ways to do it differently. Other resources, you know, there's so much work that has been done and still so much more that needs to be done.
I totally agree with that. And I like the fact that people aren't, as you said, taking this lightly, and they are fighting the fight and getting other people involved in this and making sure that we are aware of it, because I think that awareness is always our greatest ally, because if we aren't aware that there is an issue, then people can't make the noise, or people aren't able to, as readers or as literary activists, bring attention to the fact. So I think the awareness goes a very long way. So I appreciate your honesty, and I appreciate the fact that you're able to share with us this evening. And I appreciate the fact that you're taking time out your busy schedule, as long as the other ladies, to come on Read You Later. And anything that we can do to support you and highlight anything that you're doing, we'll be more than happy to do so.
Oh, and I appreciate that. You've always shown me great love, and it means a lot to me.
All right. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Derba, can you share with us the title of your two books that will be released this year?
Pleasing Temptation and Sweet Stallion. And I'm also very excited to announce that I recently signed a deal with Harlequin Suspense. So next year I'll be introducing a new family, the Blacks out of Chicago, and it follows a family of police officers. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome. And we will be very excited to read. And thank you once again for joining Read You Later.
Thank you for having me, LaShira.
Now, next on our menu, we have a young lady who has a book that will be released very shortly. And you also will be able to participate in a Facebook party that will be celebrating the combination of her birthday and books. I want you to a book release. I want you to stay alert and look forward to that. So we have on air with us tonight, Reese Ryan. Reese, welcome back to Read You Later.
Hello, LaShira. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, Reese, just in case some of my readers aren't familiar with some of your body of work, can you give us a few of your books that are in your catalog?
Sure. My first two romances came out with Harlequin's Carina Press imprint, and that's my Bad Boys Gone Good series. So the books are sorry. Excuse me. I'm having a little tickle there. Sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Excuse me. So I have two books with them, but that are already available. And then my books are coming out with Harlequin, Kamani Romance, starting this year. As you mentioned, as a matter of fact, this month, the first one's going to be hitting the shelves. And that one is Playing with Desires. It's A Pleasure Cove is the
And
name
that
of
the has
series.
A the, I tell you what, like the cover is on fire. The cover is extremely engaging. Yes, yes, yes. Honey, that's a win-win all the
cover.
Way around.
I was so thrilled about that. So that series is coming out, like I said, starting this month on the 21st. Of February is when the first book comes out. And then the Carina Press books, I'm sorry, that came out earlier, the Bad Boys Gone Good series, the two books are Love Me Not, and then Making the First Move. So love those books as well, and I'm super excited about this Pleasure Cove series coming out with Kamani Romance this year. So there's going to be a lot of action for me this year.
Oh, yes. There is. That's a lot of action. That's a lot of action in a short period of time. Now, what can we expect for the book that will be from your Kamani book? what type of character, what type of heroine can we expect, and what type of hero? Is he an alpha male, is he sweet and clean, or he's a combination of all of the above?
He is an alpha, and that's different for me because I am definitely normally I lean toward beta heroes, and Liam Westbrook is definitely an alpha hero, and I love him so much.
The name sounds like an alpha hero.
He's a wealthy man. His family, they own luxury resorts all over the world. And so he's kind of in that playboy period of his life right now after something happened to him several years ago. So that's where he's at. He's a quintessential bachelor. And then my heroines are usually, they're smart and sassy and strong. And often they're not the one that wants the relationship the most. It's usually the male. So, and that's definitely going to be the case in this story.
So what you're telling me is Liam's going to get a sister that's going to take him out. That's pretty much it. He's going to get a sister that's going to make him turn over his Playboy card.
That's right. He's going to turn in his Playboy card for sure. and the other thing about the series that's been interesting to me is that it just so happens that the first three books that are going to come out as part of the series, Playing with Desire, Playing with Temptation, and then the book that's going to be, the short story that's going to be in the anthology with Nana Malone for Christmas, all deal with single mothers. So that was new to
awesome.
Me. And it wasn't on purpose, but that's the way it happened. And I love these single mother heroines.
Awesome, awesome. And, I think, as readers and the book club president, and I'm someone who always fraternizes other book clubs, and that is always, not always, but that's a lot of conversation that comes up that, you want maybe a heroine that's a little older, a little more mature, or either a single mama. You know, people are starting to want characters. Of course, we read sometimes for escapism and sometimes read for pleasure, information. But a lot of women of a certain age, you kind of want characters to start mirroring what you see around you. And I think that will be a very well-received series because people are like, what about the single mom? What about the widower that's dating or the widow today? So I think that's very refreshing. I can go back and tell people, girl, I got a series coming up for you. That's
absolutely. No, I agree with that because I'll be 47 on my birthday, March 1st, and I definitely would like to see more older heroines in this case, like I said, single mother heroines. My mother was a single mother, so I am
that's
at a point too where I'm wanting to see more of that. And with Toni Morrison,
exactly.
The story that you want to read is not out there, write it yourself. So.
All right. Look, great advice from a very smart woman. Now, what do you see as right now as one of the most challenging? And I know there could be several, but what is some of the most challenging obstacles that writers at this period in time, especially romance writers, face? Deborah and I spoke about the New York Times stance on perhaps doing away with the NYT list for trade books. What do you feel or view as some of the most challenging things that romance authors particularly have to face at this day and time?
I don't know. I mean, like you said, there are a lot of obstacles. I do think that one of the things, and this is one of my pet peeves, is that whole idea of romance not being taken seriously. That burns me up is that whole kind of condescension that you get from people who will say things like, why don't you try writing a real book, or why don't you try writing something else, as if this is not something worthy of writing. And argument that drives me crazy is this whole thing of, oh, that's not realistic. And usually comes from a man who will watch an action film in which some dude is taking out 60 people by himself.
Exactly. and blows up 100 cars
that,
and jump off three roofs.
Exactly. And, and not break a leg and not have any scratches and stuff, but you're going to tell me that romance is unrealistic. So that, and just little remarks like, the attitude people have, when they find out that you write, because my stories tend to be on the sexier side, is to kind of look at you like, oh, is she doing all that stuff? Or they might make a remark or ask a question about it in a way that's, kind of condescending. And so, but they don't go and ask, Stephen King or somebody, if they have somebody tied, he has somebody tied up in his basement, So they don't look at men, right, murder mysteries or whatever, and wonder, okay, is this guy killing people like this? Or, is he strange or some kind of serial killer? But the moment it's a woman, they want to make those kind of condescending remarks. So that's one of the things that's been a big problem for me. And I think that because of that, you have issues like what we were talking about with the New York Times, wanting to do away with that. Because, again, those lists are often dominated by women.
Dominated by women. And I do feel, I do feel that that's a lot of it. And that a lot of the romance books were often in that category of making that list.
Mm-hmm.
But, romance had so many different levels, just like an onion. You peel away this, you peel away that. And there are so many subgenres within the genre. And there are so many different ways that authors approach it. So often, even in being a literary activist and enthusiast and whatnot, and our book club probably does tend to, when people come, probably about half of the authors we have this year are probably romance. Of course, we have, we started off this year with Jacqueline Thomas and VLR doing, inspirational or self-help books. But we do have women's fiction, and we have quite a bit of romance authors that are people who write other than that, but we are choosing to read the romance books. And, people often say, I don't read romance. I was like, well, you should. I think to myself, it would be more friendly if you did. But, I don't say it out loud, but I'm sure we're thinking it. And it's just amazing how people have this, are so hypocritical and have this stigma about romance authors and, and books. And so these are some of the best books. I read quite a bit, like I say, across various genres, but some of the romance books that I read are often my favorite picks for the year. And they often have the most complex characters and the most engaging dialogue, the wit, the banter, and the plots are just fantastic. So I think people do themselves a great disservice. I call them literary snobs, so to speak. They have to read everything. It has to be, and no offense, of course, against Toni Morrison and jazz and Blue as Eye and all that stuff. No offense to any of that, because, I have copies of that around here at my house. But I do think that we need to be more inclusive and start being exclusive, especially when we talk about African-American literature, because sometimes, we say we won't authors to succeed, but in order to do that, we have to be inclusive and include the whole body. Just like if you're if you get a prick on your finger, you don't cut off that finger. You keep it moving. You heal that finger and you keep it moving. So I think in order for the African American especially audience to grow, and for authors to be deemed to be successful, I think that we're going to have to start being such snobs and, embrace all authors per se, or all genres and subgenres.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important to be open to different types of stories. I mean, for instance, with historical, that was something initially I wasn't a big reader of, and which is odd because the two books that made me absolutely want to become a writer are Little Women and Pride and Prejudice. So, but I just hadn't read a lot of historical romance. And once I did read that first one, I'm like, oh my goodness, I have been missing out on so much, by kind of thinking that way. So, now I love historical romances, and I have, one of the books that's on the ideas that's in my head of a series that I can't wait to get to is a historical romance. So it's just to be so closed-minded and say, okay, no, I'm not going to read, I don't want to read this. You know, and even stuff like, you know, paranormal and stuff that is another genre that, you know, initially I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm interested in that. But once you get you give it a chance, you know, and it's like any series or any kind of genre, you know, not all books are created equal, but if you read a good book and it's a good story, you might find that you like that genre after all. So if you just be open-minded and give it a chance.
And I do feel, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here because I'm sure that the majority of people that listen to my readership, and I can see some of the numbers on the switchboard, they do read romance. But I will implore you that when you encounter that person that said, oh, while you're reading that, give them a copy. Purchase a book. Give them a copy of one of the best romance books you've read or an author you know who nails it each and every time. And give them the opportunity to see what you see, that romance writers and romance books are some of the best books out there, period. You know, I know we have all these subgenres, but they're the best book out there, period. And so they can get to see that this is romance books and romance authors. They are valid. They are relevant. And they need to be they don't need to be separated and looked down and, you know, all this hypocrisy that we see even among book clubs and things of that nature. But they are relevant and their books are fantastic. So I'm going to get out my soapbox because I can go on that soapbox all night long. But, Reese, I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. And what is the title of your upcoming release?
It is Playing with Desire, and as you mentioned, it's going to be in stores on bookshelves on February the 21st, and then its official publication date is my birthday, March 1st.
Yay! We'll be having a book release party on Facebook, and you will be able to purchase her books at all book outlets. And Reese, how can people connect with you on social media?
On social media, I'm available if they go to reeseryan.com, my website. And then I'm on Instagram probably more than anything right now, and then Facebook. And those are both at Reese Ryan Writes.
Okay. And Reese, thank you for joining us this evening, and have a marvelous week.
Thank you so much, LaShira, and thank you for all that you do for the romance community. We truly appreciate it as authors and readers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you. Next, we have with us a young lady who is an icon in the literary world. She is a true trailblazer. Honey, when I tell you, she knocked down punches without even using her fist. Her work, her body of work is phenomenal. If you have not had an opportunity to read a Beverly Jenkins book, do yourself a big favor. Don't purchase one. Just go and buy several, because when you purchase one, you'll go back. It's almost like Lay's potato chips. You can't eat just one. And you will go back and you'll have to click or bother your bookstore or go to Walden's. Or, you know, Walden's, but Go to one of your bookstores, go to Walmart, go to Target, but please do yourself a favor and purchase a Beverly Jenkins book. So we have with us tonight the one and only Beverly Jenkins. Ms. Bev, welcome back to Read You Later.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. And let me tell you, Breathless had me up all night, and I went back to work and the next day. And people were like, you're not feeling well. I was like, nah, I was reading the book all night. And they would look at me side eye because they know that routinely happens. But if you have not had the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to read Breathless, do yourself a favor. As you are listening to my program, go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or HarperCollins Avon and purchase this book. This lady does such a wonderful job. And I mean, she does a wonderful job of painting vivid pictures. Each and every book of yours, I feel that I am either in that time period I'm in this setting. I feel that we could, the relatives or some of the characters, I'm like, we could be relatives. Maybe that's my cousin. I mean, you are able to, you are able to just make your readers feel that you are part. I feel like I am a part of this story. And this is one of the gifts. And this is truly a gift because I read a lot. And Lord knows, my husband probably said I probably read too much while there's books in the house. But I read a lot. But there are very few authors that I can say that actually make me feel that I am literally and figuratively a part of this journey. And you really have that gift to do so. So kudos to you and all you do, Ms. Beth.
Well, thank you for those nice words. I'll put a check in the mail to you. Okay.
Now, we are, Reese was just saying earlier that, my big kick, I'm not going to get back on that, and I've talked with Deborah about, and you have been one to share this information about New York Times. They're trying to eradicate at this point the NYT trade book list, and we know that that's predominantly, not always, but, a lot of our romance books are often found on that list, and, it makes me wonder if that list was more masculine per se than sometimes feminine, would they still have that stance? And you have been one to do a good job of sharing and making readers aware of that information because without awareness, we perish because we don't know. So, and we were talking about how romance books are not deemed as perhaps as worthy as other books. And she brought up a good point that she had never read historical, and when she read it, she was like, oh, my gosh. And you're a person that often when people say, oh, I never read that type of stuff before, but you know that Beverly Jenkins? And I was like, yeah, I read a book of her too. That's something special. And, and I was like, yeah, honey, you got to read the rest of them. We have all these conversations about Vivid and Indigo and everything else. So I think that it speaks to your ability to bridge gaps because you are a gap bridger. You are able to bridge across the color lines, across the sometimes the murky waters of being a romance author, and also against sexism. That's why I say, you're the trailblazer. You often have your paws up and your dukes up, and you're fighting the fight for everyone. But I think that often we also need to encourage you and fight the fight for you. So I'm going to ask you this question before we delve into Breathless. Do you often feel that you carry specifically African-American and specifically African-American historical romance? Do you feel that you are actually carrying the mantle on your back?
I think any time that you are out there trying to, I don't think I'm carrying the mantle on my back. I think my job is to make the path wider.
All right.
The career that I have carved out, people like Brenda and Donna and Rochelle and I, started, at the beginning. And I think it's our job to try and make sure that the power that we're given and that we have earned and have, clawed and scratched for is used to make it a little bit easier for those coming up behind us to also be able to claim their spot in the sun.
All right.
But yeah, I there's been some times when you're out there and you feel like you're out there by yourself and you're carrying the world on your shoulders. But when much is given, much is expected.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Okay. Now, probably 99.9% of the time, when people talk about historical romance, regardless of the color or the demographic of the audience, people reverence you because not only do you craft a good tale, but the research and the information that you're able to give us as readers is awesome. It's phenomenal. You know, I have often when you have your biographies in the back and your reference books, I have purchased those books if they're available, or I've researched information about that time period and or either that character or something about that era. So how much of your time when you're writing do you generally give to research?
Well, it depends on what the subject is. when I first started, just to make sure, you know, with the first four, five, six books, just to make sure my stuff was accurate, I spent a lot more time researching stuff. But now that I'm, you know, been in the 19th century, which is my specialty for, what, almost 20 years now, I have it. I know where to find it. Only when I come across something new do I have to spend, you know, not a lot of time, but time becoming familiar with it. Like in Breathless, I had to look up Geronimo. I knew a little bit about him, but I didn't know, you know, the intricate details, how many times he, you know, escaped out of the reservation in Arizona. I knew absolutely nothing about Lozen, who was the great female warrior for the Apache Nation.
I never heard of her. I had never heard of her until you mentioned it. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was like, what? You know, that was another history lesson.
I said the same thing. You know, and it's about education. You know, I called it entertainment and education. You should learn something as you're also escaping with my stories. So I make it as painless as possible. There's no test on Friday or anything like that. But I think you should, you know, as you're having a good time, you know, throwing in a few facts that you can pass along to friends, that you can tell your kids about, that, you know, maybe they could use in that next book report or the next paper that they have to do. There's a lot of unsung people of color in American history, and I try to do my best to sing a little bit about them.
And you do a mighty fine job, I would say. And, you know, Breathless, as I said, you know, I read it in the span of like, I don't know, it was like 20 hours or so. And it really left me breathless because you're a heroine. I don't want to give too much away for people who haven't read it. I'm sure looking at my switchboard, probably, I don't know, 60% of people I know have probably read it already. But I like the fact that you are always catching us up on previous characters. You don't spend a lot of time per se, depending on the book, but we have enough information that we know, oh, he made it, she made it, she's doing fine. And you do a great job of weaving past and present together, and you do a great job. Sometimes people have an overkill, but when I read your book, it's a certain expectation that I have, that I know that I'm going to get a good book. That's for one. I'm going to love these characters, but I'm also going to be reminiscent of past characters that I love. Is that something that subconsciously you do? Because I know that family and generation and roots is history is very important to you, but you are weaving generations together. Is that something that you intentionally set out to do, or is it something that progresses as you write?
I think when you're writing a series, it's important to try and give a little backstory on what happened before, just in case that book, like Breathless is going to be the middle book, just in case somebody picked up Breathless but had not read Forbidden, you want to give them enough backstory so that they're not totally lost, and also to pique their curiosity and their interest enough that they will go back and buy that first book. So, and, yeah, we want to know what happened. You want to know, make sure that Edie and Ryan are still as hopelessly in love as they
were. Yes, they are.
They still are 15 years later. So it serves two purposes. It serves the purpose of familiarizing people who may not have gotten the first book, and it also informs readers of that first book as to what maybe some of their favorite characters have been doing and are doing.
Yes, and you do a great job of redemption. You know, of course, Forbidden and Indigo, Vivid, and Breathless, they're not Christian fiction, but you always have your hero, your heroine, you're dealing your hero. They are flawed individuals, and they have some redeeming qualities. And you let us know in your writing that, you know, if you fall, baby, it's okay. Just get back up. And don't let that scare you from finding love, finding success, finding your goal, finding your passion. And I just love that about your writing because it lets everyone know, okay, you fall, get back up, get back on that horse again.
Yeah, none of us are perfect. And I don't think that you do your readership or your characters a good service by making them quote unquote perfect, because if they're not changed at the end of the story, then you haven't written a good story. And being people of color, I mean, we've never given up. You know, regardless of the lemons that, you know, America has thrown at us since, you know, the 1600s or whatever. We've always taken those lemons and made lemonade out of it. And that has to be reflected in my characters. Because if they had given up, I wouldn't be here.
Exactly. You did a great job at that. Now, you are known for your series, and often you tie in your contemporary series. You may reflect or be some backstory of your historical, or Henry Adams. You know, there's always a history lesson involved. And it seemed to me that it would be hard for the average, and we know you're average, but for the average writer to be able to connect all of those dots and make it real, make it relevant, make it present day, and you're able to do that. Is there a technique that you have developed in order to do that, or is it something that has transpired during your course of writing?
Yeah, it's just something that has happened over the course of 20 years. I think I would like to think that, you know, most authors would be able to do that if they had,
mm-mm,
you know, 20 years of books behind them or under them to stand upon.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to reach back and say, okay, well, I'm going to do this with book number 4, and then I'm going to do this with book number 8, or I'm going to do this with book number 2. I think it's just the nature of the beast and being out here forever.
And we love it, love it, love it. I'm going to get to some callers. Callers from 904-743. Caller from 904-743. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for Ms. Jenkins?
Hi there, LaShira and Ms. Bev. This is J.B. Williams.
How are you?
Hi, the J.B. How are you doing?
How are you?
J.B.
Hey,
girl.
Hey. Listen, I just wanted to say that you've just been awesome from the very beginning, and just want to thank you for all your contribution, because without you, I don't know where I would be.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, and thank you for the support, because if it wasn't for you all, I wouldn't be here either.
That's right. And what I wanted to also commend you on is always being true to the craft. You have carried it so well. Just made us so proud of you. Everywhere you go, you make us so proud.
Thank you so much. I know who I'm representing, and you know, my mama raised me well, and y'all raised me well, and you know, I'm just trying to, you know, let people know that we as a community are, you know, we're pretty awesome.
We are.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, we just try to keep it in the middle of the road. Also, one more thing, and I'll make it quick. You named some of the other trailblazers, And I just want to say the same for them also. You all have really done an awesome job. Mm-hmm. And you stand alone with the historical pretty much. I know we have some others up and coming. But just carry on and keep the flow going for us. Thank you so much.
Y'all keep buying, I'll keep writing.
You know how
and,
it goes.
And thank
late
you for
night,
calling
y'all.
In.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. You have a wonderful evening.
I will. You do the same.
Thank you, babe.
Thank you. Let's see. We'll take another caller. Lord have mercy. Okay, everyone, don't be upset. I can't call, can't take calls all night because my switchboard is lighting up and people are inboxing me and texting me. So I'm going to take a call from 313-313-934. Hello, you're on the air. If you have a question or comment for Ms. Jenkins.
Hey, Bev, it's Donnie. How you doing?
I'm fine, Donnie. How are you?
I'm making it, sweetheart. I'm making it. You know, I really don't have too much to say because I love you anyway.
Well, I love you anyway, too.
And hi, Lee. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm making it, child. I'm making it. Sitting here trying to finish reading. And y'all had the nerve to call my name, my number.
And you know what? I know some certain people had already inboxed and said, don't give away too much. I'm like, okay, I'm trying not to give away too much tonight because I finished. I'm on this page. And what happened? I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell you what happened.
I'm not going to tell you nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to hold you, love. See you on the 18th.
All right, babe.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love
Bye.
You.
Bye. Have a wonderful evening.
Four.
We have another caller from 708-828-728-828. Do you have a question or comment for Ms. Bev?
Hi, Ms. Beverly. Hi, the sheriff.
Hi there.
My name is Joy.
Okay.
I met
Hi,
you a long
Joy.
Time
Welcome
ago.
Welcome to Review Later.
Hi.
You met
I
me
met
a long,
you a long
time,
time
where?
Ago at Walmart about when they were doing their book signings.
Oh, yeah, the Walmart tour. Okay, yeah.
Right, in Chicago.
Okay.
I mean, I've been buying your books. I bought your books from day one. I have everything you've written.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
And I'm about to start reading Breathless.
Okay. I hope you don't
and
have nothing to do.
I enjoy your work. I enjoy your work, and I'm learning a lot about my history from you.
Excuse me?
I'm learning
oh, you learn
a lot
about history.
My history.
Yeah.
From you.
That's part
it's
of the...
You go to the library and find some of these books you're talking about that these people are in.
Yeah, well, you know, you educate a woman, you educate a race. So,
right.
You know, the more we can share the knowledge, the more power we as a race can have.
Yeah. And I enjoy your work very, very much.
Well, thank
you
so much. Thank you for the support.
As you say, if you keep writing, we'll keep buying. So keep writing and I'll keep buying.
Oh, bless you, dear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you for calling. Have a wonderful
thank
evening.
Thank you.
And we also have a caller from 804-2112, 801-2112. You're on the air.
Hi, Ms. Beth. This is Ira.
Hey there. Who's
How
this?
Are you?
I'm doing
okay,
well. Who's this?
Okay, let's talk about Breathless.
Okay.
Portia.
Did you enjoy it? Oh, dear.
Portia was too close to home. I'm breathless right now. That's my breathless presentation. But Portia was too close to home for me. I am I love Portia. The reaction, I don't want to tell it. Because some people may not have read it.
Yeah,
but when she ran into
me, say don't tell everything.
Yeah,
don't tell
her.
I'm not. But when she ran into a certain person when she was in San Francisco, the reaction of that person that was
We've been talking about that in my quarter room.
I saw that, but it was
pretty devastating.
Hit too close to home. Yes, it took close to home, but Breathless was wonderful. But then again, what else would we expect from you? Like I said, you set that bar so high for us, Miss Bev. We just
thank you.
Love what you put out there and love how you teach us, not just in your historical writings, but how you just teach us up in this industry overall. So I just love you to pieces, too. I'm with Miss Donnie. I just love you, too.
Well, I love you, too, my dear. Thank you for all you do. Thank you.
Now, Iris Boland is an author in her own right. So, Iris, do you have anything that you would like to add, or you and Miss Bell would like to discuss or say something?
You can make you can make us do that, aren't you? Well, I would say this. I am so honored to be able to take a Beverly Jenkins novel and turn it into a movie. We are going to take Deadly Sexy with the fine, ever so fine, Reese Anthony.
Yes.
We're going to put him and JT on screen. And I am so, so excited about that project.
I am so excited. And she's so smart and she's so intelligent. And she's just so awesome that, you know, I'm just going to stand back and just grin. Of course, we got to raise a whole lot of money, but, you know, we're going to get that done too. But I'm just so honored that Iris would even consider doing this. So, stay tuned, America. We're going to put a Beverly Jenkins novel on the small screen.
You're
going
to rock
your world.
These two ladies are going to rock your world.
We are. Bev already rocked us with a wonderful story. And, you know, I actually had my team trying to order the damn black cherries. I was like,
can't get them till June.
Can't
get them till June, late June.
We should be able to get them. And I'm like, and these are men. Let me be very clear. My production team, I have one female that's on the team. The rest of them are men. And they're obsessed with the black cherries. So,
look,
when we start swimming, we're going to have
the
black cherries on the set.
I love it.
Look,
yeah, can't get them till late
June.
I'll let you know when they're in the market.
Please do, because we're going to have them for them. But, Miss Bev, I cannot wait to actually start in on this project. And you're right, we are going to need a lot of money, and we're going to put the fundraiser out there still, so that people who are interested and have expressed interest in participating in this project will be able to do just that. So we're looking forward to that. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank you not just for me, but for the fact that you're going to give this to the public in the film. You know, I think they are so ready for that. I'm just excited for you.
Well, I'm excited that you're excited because, you know, we had our little cry fest on the phone. So I'm just waiting and, you know, can't wait. And we hope to be able to do openings all, you know, in a couple places across the country. So, you know, we got plans. We have plans.
We do. And we're actually going to make them public. So as soon as we can get, you know, we have that business stuff we have to take care of. But as soon as we do that, we're going to start making things public so everyone can know exactly what we're planning on doing. And actually, my hope is that this is going to be on film in 2017.
This year, people.
All right.
This year.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you hearing? Are you listening, people? All right.
We're going to need your help, readers.
Yes, readers, we're going to need your help. We're going to need extras too. So, guys, get ready and be on the lookout. Because when we start casting, we're going to put dates out there so that readers can come in and be a part of this wonderful event as well.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. That's just going to be so much fun.
We're trying to
Thank you, Iris.
Love you.
Love you too so much. All righty.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. So, they're looking to have openings all around the United States. They're also looking for funding and extras. So be on the lookout for on Iris Bolin and Ms. Bev's page on how you can contribute and be a success to this wonderful project. And I'm sorry I couldn't get to everyone this evening, but my switchboard is lit up like a Christmas tree. But I want you to know that I greatly, greatly appreciate you all listening, because it's a love thing. And as I said earlier at the beginning of the show, there's a lot going on in this world. So we need love. It's a love thing. We have the wonderful Samantha Chase, Deborah Mello, Reese Ryan, and Beverly Jenkins. So please go out and support these women and their projects. If you have not done so, please purchase a book. Samantha's book came out today. Deborah has two books coming out this year. And Reese has a book that will be released in 2 weeks. My next show, we will have the awesome J.J. Mary on February 21st. On March 13th, I'm very excited. We'll have William Paul Young, the author of The Shack, who is one of my favorite books.
Ooh,
of the last 10 years. His movie come out on the 3rd, and we will be interviewing him on the 13th. We also have a lot of women issues, and we're going to talk about women issues in March. So we're going to give you a lot of variety on this show. But remember, it's a love thing. No matter what's going on in this world, it's a love thing. Find love, give love, keep love. Ms. Bell, thank you for joining me this evening.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
What you do for us as readers and what you do for us as women is phenomenal. You give us a voice. You give voice to voiceless women of the past who perhaps did not have their say. You give us the ability to want to learn more and research more and find out about who we are. And as you said, you know, each one reach one, and we are thankful that you are reaching back and giving us a voice.
Thank you. Thank you for that tribute. That makes my evening.
And from my heart to yours, read you later. Ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful evening. Remember, it's a love thing, not only today, but everything. Find love, give love, keep love. Good night, and have a wonderful
evening. Good night. All righty.